in the limelight. The villain of the piece in the current pressure tactics against Iran is not just Donald Trump, but also the notorious heir apparent in Saudi Arabia, who is an avowed enemy of the Islamic Republic. Stay with us for an article that appeared in Asia Times by Beirut-based Armenian journalist Alison Tahmizian Moose, titled Saudi Role in US Breaching of JCPOA. Stay with us for more of Alison Tahmizian Moose's article. When the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, JCPOA, was inked between Iran and its longtime Western rivals in July of 2015, it was not simply a nuclear non-proliferation treaty. It was the invitation for Iran to retake its rightful seat at the table of nations. Iran, a vast country with a history of empire, invention, culture and trade, would scale down its nuclear program in exchange for engagement and investment in its educated 80 million strong population. It was not only a significant undertaking for the US administration of President Barack Obama, part of a strategic vision of a regional and global adjustment, but also a sustained step by the Iranian government of President Hassan Rouhani. In the months and years that followed, major Western corporations signaled that the future of West Asia would go through Tehran. Major oil companies, car manufacturers and airlines were at the ready, none more so than the French oil giant Total, which in July of 2017 led a consortium in signing a $4.8 billion deal to develop the South Pass gas field, the world's largest gas field. Total called it a major contract which would contribute to the development of relations between Europe and Iran. It was slated to begin supplying the Iranian domestic market by 2021. Across the Atlantic Ocean, however, sanctions were already brewing in the United States, where the change of government in the White House resumed the long-time hostility of the Americans towards Iran. Back in 1953, Washington had kneecapped Iran's democracy with a CIA-orchestrated coup against the elected prime minister at the time, Mohammad Mossadegh. His chief offense in the eyes of the West was to nationalize Iran's oil industry and to reject British and American subservience. The result was the restoration to power of the fugitive Shah and his despotic rule that suppressed the aspirations of the Iranian people for the next 2.5 decades, during which the Americans, the de facto rulers, called Iran a pillar of US foreign policy in West Asia. Those relations were ruptured when the victory of the Islamic Revolution in 1979, when the hated Pahlavi regime was overthrown and the Islamic system of government established. The US pursued a policy of hostility, and it took nearly 3 decades for a US leader to prioritize a total reset of relations with Iran. That was Barack Obama. Addressing the Muslim world in Cairo, Egypt, in June of 2009, Barack Obama admitted the role the United States had played in the overthrow of Iran's democratically elected government half a century before, and called for talks without preconditions. As a two-term president, Barack Obama would devote significant political capital to securing an accord with Iran, part of a strategic vision for a recalibrated future of the region and America's relations with it. Secretary of State John Kerry spent hours negotiating with Iran's top diplomat Javad Zarif with a clear air of respect for his counterpart. When the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action JCPOA was signed in Geneva, Switzerland in 2015, Barack Obama told Jeffrey Goldberg of the Atlantic Journal that it was time for Saudi Arabia to learn to share the neighborhood with Iran. During his last meeting with the Saudi King Salman bin Abdulaziz in April of 2016, Barack Obama encouraged the Saudi ruler to engage in diplomacy with the Iranians rather than proxy wars and power struggles. The king's son, the heir apparent Mohammed bin Salman, known as MBS, could not contain his outrage later in the meeting, according to a top Obama advisor in the room. The Iran deal, Barack Obama's detractors maintained, came at the expense of a decades-old alliance with the OPEC kingpin Saudi Arabia. And despite a $38 billion aid package to the Israeli armed forces, the deal was viewed as an abandonment of Israel as well. But by then, the Saudis had already identified a new political brand on the horizon, Donald Trump, and opened up their coffers for him. In the heat of the 2016 presidential campaign, perhaps no foreign policy issue served as more of a foil for Donald Trump against Barack Obama than what he called the bad deal Obama had struck with Iran. Whilst the real estate developer had argued against American meddling in the West Asia-North Africa region, breaking with Republican Party orthodoxy to condemn the George W. Bush administration's invasion of Iraq, for him, Iran was another story. A meeting between President Trump and Mohammed bin Salman in March of 2017 was hailed as a turning point in Riyadh, whose leadership was finally back in lockstep with the White House over a common desire to stifle Iran's regional and global ambitions. With plans to invest $150 billion in natural gas stakes around the world, the Saudi leadership was looking to sideline Iran and its vast reserves. In turn, Mohammed bin Salman was floating partial privatization of Saudi Aramco, nearly four decades after his predecessors had bought out Standard Oil, and presented himself as a friend to Israel, who could act as an enforcer against the Palestinians. The Trump administration, with the president's Jewish son-in-law Jared Kushner in the lead, was convinced that an investment in the young Mohammed bin Salman would pay off for the coming century. Even as the French oil giant Total began breaking ground in southern Iran, Donald Trump was setting the stage for an economic coup. In May of 2018, the United States announced its abandonment of the International Nuclear Pact, the JCPOA. One year later, all previous sanctions had illegally snapped back, including the most fatal, the blacklisting of Iranian petroleum sector. Unable to secure a waiver from U.S. sanctions, French oil giant Total pulled out of Iran in August of 2018, having spent only $40 million of a promised multi-billion dollar deal. 2 months later, Total inked a $9 billion contract with Aramco to build a petrochemical plant in Saudi Arabia. The same week, reports emerged that the Saudi columnist Jamal Khashoggi had been brutally murdered inside the Saudi consulate building in Istanbul, on the orders of Mohammed bin Salman, of course. As global outrage mounted over the killing of the journalist, Total Chief Executive Officer Patrick Pouyanné was boarding a plane for Riyadh to headline the Saudi heir apparent's Davos in the Desert investment conference. He was quoted by the Financial Times as saying, "Total has never been in favor of sanctions and isolation." For a company among many whose first choice was Iran, the statement can be taken with a heavy dose of irony. James Dorsey, a senior fellow at Singapore's Rajaratnam School and Middle East Institute, argues that the worst-case scenario for Saudi Arabia is an Iran acceptable to the West and unfettered by sanctions. Enforcing a level playing field means Iran wins this hands down, he says. That is the deal Donald Trump has breached.